today, every business is an online business, whether you know it or you don't know it. So you can be a physical business, like a restaurant or like a laundromat or a barber shop. You can be a physical business, but the way that you're going to get your customers moving forward, it's going to be through the online marketplace.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interview. Hi, and welcome to the My Future Business Show. My name is Rick Nusky, and it's my pleasure to have with me today Naresh Visser from NareshVisser.com. How are you, Naresh?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Not a problem. Now, Naresh, for everybody who's listening, he has his own online business agency called Krish Media and Marketing. I was wondering if you can share a little bit about your business with us.
Yeah, Krish Media Marketing, we actually last week just celebrated 5 years in business. So we hit that key 5-year mark. Thank you so much. And we are an online full service digital agency. So we provide pretty much anything and everything that you can think of online related, with the exception of mobile app development. Mm-hmm. To get more specific, that includes web design, web development, logo stuff, affiliate marketing, pay-per-click, social media advertising, copywriting, book. But we have a book publishing company, which is a division of ours. So we publish audiobooks, Kindles, even paperbacks as well. We do run Amazon campaigns to sell Amazon products. You name it, anything online, we have solutions for you.
So it seems to me that one man couldn't do all of this. How do you manage all of that?
Well, I have people who do a bulk of the work. Mm-hmm. So it started out 5 years ago when I got started. It was just me, just like most businesses. It's just one person. And then about 2 to 3 years later, my clients started asking me, hey, can you do X for me? Can you do Y for me? Because initially we only focused on online direct response marketing services.
Yeah.
And so then they started asking, hey, I want to start a podcast. Can you help me launch a podcast? I want to write a book and publish a book. Can you help me do that and distribute it? I want to come out with a new website for this new business or division that we're launching. Can you help build this for us? So when they came to me and they said, hey, I want to do all this stuff, instead of saying, I have no idea how to do that stuff, you're going to have to find somebody else, I said, we can do that. And then I found people who could do it. And then that's how I grew those divisions and added those services to our offerings.
Fantastic. I mean, it sounds like a lot of hard work and, you know, relationship building. How important is to have healthy relationships in an online business as opposed to an offline one?
It's an extremely, extremely important part of the equation. Now, it is just one part of the equation. There are a lot of different parts to the equation. But many people have the expertise, per se. They'll have the expertise, but they don't have that relationship building skill, or they don't know how to bring in clients or how to do the sales or how to have a meeting, a proper sales call and sell their products, or how to price their services or products affordably or reasonably. So those relationships are so important. And I got started because it was a business that I had on the side. Mm-hmm. And when I left my full-time job, yes, I worked a full-time job for probably the largest financial marketing company in the world. But when I left my full-time job, I already had from day one, 2 or 3 paying clients. And within month one, I had, it was like 4 or 5 paying clients within the first month. And so I was very comfortable to jump into this, to incorporate, and to basically give it a shot as a full-time thing for 2 years. Initially, it was meant to be like a 2-year project. And I thought, you know, if 2 years from now I'm in worse shape or just not in any shape, then I'll just go back and get a full-time job. And here we are 5 years later, and it's stronger than ever before. I paid a nice big tax bill just this last week, which is actually it's a bad thing, but it's also a good thing because
it's a sign of success, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That, it seems to be a classic case scenario where there are people making the transition from their full time employment to being an entrepreneur, and I think you've really cornered a key important ingredient there is to make sure that your business model is valid before you jump ship and go on your own as an entrepreneur. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. And there are countless people, many of my own friends, who have reached out to me and said, hey, I want to be just like you, because I live on a beach in Florida that has Wi-Fi, and you know, I'm right on the water. I wake up whenever I want. I have my own schedule. I pretty much do whatever I want. And they say, you know, I want to live a life like that. Like how I want to quit my job and do that. And what I tell them is, you know, I didn't just move down here to Florida and things just happened. I started my business somewhere else where the bulk of my clients were, and it was in an area that is not a very nice, friendly part of the United States, but that's where the business was. That's where my clients were. That's where I was trained. That's where my contacts and connections were. And then after I was able to kind of stand my own ground and became location independent, then I moved down to the beach and, started, that's how a lot of people know how I live my life today. But going back to what you said about leaving a full-time job, I don't recommend that people just show up one day and put in their resignation letter and then think that they can just contact a realtor in Florida and move down to Florida and live the dream. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of heartache that goes behind it. And I've been through situations, and you know, these situations could arise again. It's not to say that the worst is behind me, but I've been through situations where I've made only a couple $100 a month and was afraid about paying rent. I've been through a couple of situations where unfortunately, here in the land of opportunity, lawsuits are a part of business. We're a very lawsuit heavy society here in the United States. So I've been in several lawsuits and worried for my business, worried for my assets, worried for myself personally, my mental health. So, you know, these aren't fun things to go through, or dealing with just unhappy clients who are threatening you, threatening lawsuits, threatening your life physically. I mean, I've seen it all. And it's all part of being in business for yourself. And then once you start employing people or having people work for you, whether it's domestically here in the United States or overseas, which is what a good portion of our work is done. That's how I've kind of built it with high margins. Then other people's livelihoods are somewhat dependent on you and you being able to bring in work for them and paying them and making payroll and all that. So there are a lot of things that you have to worry about.
Lots of moving parts, isn't there? It's I just have to say I really appreciate your raw and candid perspective. You are sharing with the My Future Business audience the fact that this may not necessarily be easy, because at the end of the day, My Future Business is about getting you in front of your best audience and keeping you there. And that's really when you have somewhat of a mature business system in place. There is going to be some hard work.
Well, it's funny. Well, it's actually not funny. But Rick, I think too many of these self-help business motivational books or courses that you see, it's almost like they have this Disney story behind it. It's almost like I left my job and I started this and I worked hard and the American dream happened and I made all this money and I lived happily ever after. And really the reality is that a bulk of us entrepreneurs actually face major, major mental hurdles, what's called entrepreneurial depression. Whether it's running a mom and pop convenience store or gas station or a white collar IT business or online business like me, you face entrepreneurial depression. And unfortunately, I faced it when I, or I should say fortunately, I faced it when I was younger and when I was getting started, and I went through it. And because of that, I got the help that I needed, whether it was through reading certain books that have changed my perspective on business and on life, mm-hmm. like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yep.
Or getting, you know, going to therapy and or counseling and or just talking to successful, other successful entrepreneurs who are much older than me, who served as my mentors, or even people who are around my age group who are going through the same thing. And when I got started, I was in my mid-20s, so it wasn't that, I was kind of alone at it. Most of my friends were working, you know, corporate jobs and didn't really take the route that I took. So it was kind of lonely. And I was living in a place where I didn't really have many friends either. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm really happy that I went through the process, because now I have a very set system. You talked about developing a system, not just for your business, but also for yourself, mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, mm. which those four areas come from, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yeah, well, you have to, you know, there's this notion of hustling and grinding away in the early days. And I recall somebody saying to me one time that your business will be like a steam train. Once you get the momentum early on, the momentum's hard, but once you get it going, you'll have a hard time slowing it down. Now, I'd love to talk about your book that you released in 2015, which was actually a number one bestseller, called 50 Shades of Marketing: Whip Your Business into Shape and Dominate Your Competition. It's a great title.
Yeah, thank you so much. So it came out around the time of the movie 50 Shades of Grey, and the books, the book series came out a few years before that. And yeah, I'll admit I read the books, not closely, but I read them not because I was interested in them,
yes.
But because I went to a marketing conference, and it's actually the most popular marketing conference in the world, called Traffic and Conversion. And they started talking about this 50 Shades of Grey, and all they talked about was this guy in the book, Christian Grey, and the author, and how she made all this money, and she did it all on her own. She self-published, and the publishers wouldn't publish her book because they thought it was too raunchy and risque, and so she did it herself, and she sold the rights to like $5 million to a major book publisher, and now she's making all this money and this and that. And I said, you know what, I keep hearing about this book. Let me just check it out. So, you know, I got some copies and I went through it, and a horrible book. I mean, just really terribly written, horrible movies as well, but kind of a light bulb went off, and I was like, look, if this lady, she kept getting rejected, and, you know, she got rejected, but she said, you know what, I believe in my work. And she just started giving it away for free, and it went viral online, the book. Mm-hmm. And that's how it caught the attention of the book publishers. And they said, oh, you know, we rejected you initially, but let's, you know, we want to buy the rights now for $5 million.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the genesis of not just 50 Shades of Marketing, but for my entrepreneurial spirit, and also for getting into writing and publishing as well.
Yeah.
So if she could do it with writing such crappy novels, then, you know, anybody could do it. And so I say, you know what, just like her, I'm just going to jump in. I'm going to do it. I'm going to start Krish Media Marketing, get my clients. I'm going to write my first book, Podcastnomics, and then my second book, 50 Shades of Marketing, and get it out there, promote it. I have book signings. I've done tons of interviews. I've gotten many, many clients. I mean, the amount of money I've made from my books is really, it's probably well into the six figures. The direct sales, the direct sales. Now, I'm not saying direct sales. I've sold close to 15,000 copies of all my books combined. Mm-hmm. But it's really what comes, the speaking engagements, the podcast interviews, the online webinars, the conferences I do, the clients that I get. I mean, some of these clients are paying tens of thousands of dollars every month to have them do work for them. And it's because of Or it's largely because of being a number one best-selling author, actually reading my book and liking the book and liking my voice and getting a feel for who I am and what my knowledge level is like and what we do as a business. And then also the beauty of the online marketplace now is you can do your own. You don't have to take a risk and worry about getting burnt. You can go on Amazon, look at my book, 50 Shades of Marketing, and look at the 25 or so reviews that are on there and read the reviews and make a judgment for yourself on whether it's worth purchasing. And then you can read the book and then make a decision on whether it's worth contacting my company after that, getting us involved a vendor or whatever.
It seems very important to have a book, and you know, it gives you that, from what you've said, a great deal of opportunity flow, of deal flow.
Absolutely, absolutely. And writing is something that I enjoy. My undergraduate studies were heavily in reporting, media journalism, writing, TV, radio, print, newspaper, etc. So I've always had a passion for it. I always knew I wanted to be a writer when I was a kid. And I'm happy that it's evolved. I never thought it would evolve this way, where I'd get into copywriting or book writing. I thought I would be like a journalist or a reporter or like a sports writer or something. But it's interesting to see how things have evolved. And I love it so much that my goal is to come out with a book every year that I'm alive. So Podcastomics came out about 3.5 years ago. 50 Shades of Marketing came out 2.5 years ago. I had a book called The New PR, which is about present day digital public relations. That came out about 1.5 years ago. And then recently I came out with a book called Trump Book, which is about kind of like the role that online and digital marketplaces played in President Trump's election victory. You know, the goal is, and already this year, I'm working on my next book. It's going to be published later this year, and it's going to be all about book publishing and the industry, how to get involved in it, how to write a book, how to publish a book, how to market a book, etc.
Right. That's you're a very busy man. I've got a couple of things I want to swing back around to, one being podcasting. But first, I would really love to talk with you about how physical businesses, you know, the traditional offline businesses, how they will participate in the digital economy going forward. And if they're not online, what sort of consequences will they experience?
Well, that's a really, really good question. Really good question. And physical businesses are, well, first off, I want to qualify what I'm about to say with the online and digital marketplace. So today, every business is an online business or a digital business, whether you know it or you don't know it. So you can be a physical business, like a restaurant or like a laundromat or a barbershop. You can be a physical business, but the way that you're going to get your customers moving forward, and this is the way it's been for the last couple of years as well, it's going to be through the online marketplace. And so what I mean is, if you're a restaurant, people are now making their decisions. I brought up earlier Amazon. People are making their decisions based on the reviews that they see on Amazon. Well, the same thing is true, for example, with restaurants or bars or, They go on Yelp and they see what the reviews say, or they'll put in a search and they'll see the highest rated places in their geographic area. And that's how they'll make their decisions. And it's only going to become more and more like that as we move forward. So in 50 Shades of Marketing, I include various resources on how physical businesses can stay in business, because they're going to have to adapt to the 21st century. The 20th century way of doing things, you know, it worked in the 20th century, but we live in the 21st century. And that's why a physical business like a taxi company is out of business to a digital business like an Uber or Lyft. So there are various ways to do it. It varies from business to business. But to give you the restaurant example, you know, places like TripAdvisor, Yelp, being on social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, having a website. You'll be surprised how many businesses don't even have a website. They just think that people are going to drive around the block and find them and say, oh, yeah, I want to come eat here at this restaurant, or I want to give my dry cleaning to this place. Those days are gone, because it's so easy as consumers and as customers just to take out our phone, put in a keyword, and get results in a matter of 30 seconds.
30 seconds,
so these physical businesses absolutely have to stay up to date on 21st century business, e-commerce, and marketing. And like I mentioned before, getting on all these platforms, the online yellow pages, the Yelps, the TripAdvisors, Facebooks, Twitters, LinkedIn's. Some of these businesses cater towards a younger market, so Snapchat might even be a part of their strategy, but it's important to really start to engage with your customers through online and digital formats.
You mentioned the traffic and conversion with Ryan Dice and Richard Lidner, and obviously his mentor, the likes of Dan Kennedy. I wonder about the ongoing relevance of direct response mail outs. How do you feel about the hard mail, the lumpy mail? Is that going to have a place in the future?
Well, I'll say this: direct response, yes. So direct response, I believe, is still the only and the best way to market. Mm-hmm. Now, that's different from sending out hard, lumpy, physical direct mail campaigns, or long email sales letters, or long sales packages. Mm-hmm. Those offers are going to, they're already starting to diminish. Google is cutting down on them left and right. Facebook has already cut down on them. Same with Twitter and a few other well-known marketplaces. But the idea of direct response marketing essentially means that as a producer or a seller, you are directly connecting with the consumer or the customer. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is you are still going to be sending those packages in the mail. Now, the channels, I think, have changed, and they're going to change. So in the 20th century, direct mail, snail mail, was a very viable option. But now, email might be better, or moving forward, text messaging might be better, or Snapchat marketing might be better. I mean, it really depends. Right now, email is still king. The responses that you're getting from an ROI perspective is much greater in email marketing, mm-hmm, than it is in any other type of channel. So directly reaching that consumer is still the key, but the way that you're going to reach them is going to continue to evolve, and also the messaging is going to evolve as well.
I wonder, given that we are focused on helping up-and-coming entrepreneurs to create a business that lasts long into the future, what would you say to someone who is at the starting gate? What would be the one thing that they should be looking at focusing on to get some traction in their business?
Well, marketing is really every entrepreneur's nightmare or headache. And I talk to PhDs in artificial intelligence, or I work with PhDs in artificial intelligence, or people who just have great, corporate backgrounds, and they have no clue about marketing. And they say, with no marketing, there's no business, there are no sales, nobody knows about it, there are no customers. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's incredibly important for people. First off, we already established earlier that getting started on the side is the way to go. Yeah. So if you have a full-time job, don't leave your full-time job, do it on the side, of your full-time job. Once you do that, then it is, you want to find out if there's an actual marketplace for the product. And what I mean by that is, don't just go ask your friends, hey, I have this idea, what do you think of it? Because they're all going to say, oh, that's an amazing idea, go for it. Mm-hmm. Very few people are going to shut you down and say, this is not viable. You should actually go out and test it. So if it's a book idea, for example, I had the idea for 50 Shades of Marketing. Well, the way I tested it was I went on Amazon And I looked at how many books were just like the book that I had in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I went online and I only found two or three of them, and they were older. So I said, okay, this is a pretty good opportunity. And the two or three of them that are now competitors to my book, they sold really, really well. They had a ton of reviews. They sold really well. They were like in the top five in their categories. Mm-hmm. So that told me, okay, there's a market for this. I also went on the podcast app on iTunes to type in to see what competition was like, what the market was like. And so I did some market research there. Then what you can also do is run like a low-cost $5 Facebook ad campaign and come out with, two or three different ads, and see what people like best. You know, yep. This is basically a test, like an A-B split test, yep. Or ABC split test campaign, and see what people like. That way you actually have real data and research and numbers to back up what your idea or plan is.
Yeah, you really need
so
to
many people I know,
don't you? Yeah,
absolutely. And so, like I said earlier, so many people I know, they go to their mom and dad and they say, oh yeah, you know, I have this idea, and they say, oh yeah, we support you, go ahead, this is great, this is a great idea, this is the next Facebook. And really the problem comes into play not at the beginning, not in the first year, but actually when you start raising funds and you start getting family members to invest in you and friends to invest in you, and you realize 5 years down the road that you really don't have a product or a business. Mm-hmm. But because you're 5 years down the road and there are so many people who basically put their money and their faith and trust in you, you're basically screwed. And I've seen that happen so many times with people. I see it currently happening with people whom I know. It's a really sad situation to be in. You don't want to be like that, because really the problem started at the beginning in year one when you got started, not in year five when you realize that you don't have a viable business or product.
Yeah, that's great insights for everybody who's listening to the My Future Business Show today. I think it's important to reach out to Naresh. Where can our audience find you?
Get on my free newsletter, NareshVissa.com. I send out some really useful tidbits on online and e-commerce. I run some special deals once in a while on my books. And then my company, Krish Media and Marketing, mm-hmm. website is Krish, K-R-I-S-H, MediaMarketing.com, KrishMediaMarketing.com. You can see all of the services that we have to offer. And I'll even give your listeners, if they reach out to me through NareshVissa.com or KrishMediaMarketing.com, mm-hmm. I'll send them a free copy of 50 Shades of Marketing. So I'll send them a free copy of the book. It'll be a Kindle or audiobook version, their choice.
Well, thank you so much for making that available to our audience. I'm sure they'll jump on that special offer. And so with everybody listening today, again, those websites will be below this post. Make sure you touch base with Naresh. Naresh, it's been fantastic having you on the show, and we'll speak with you again soon.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be on, and have a great day, Rick.
It's been fun having you on the call with us today. Now click on that big red subscribe button and make sure you leave us a comment, share us with your friends, and join the growing list of leading entrepreneurs who have enjoyed their time on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews.